Around the world, it's estimated that 200 million Christians are currently experiencing persecution. And so amid their suffering, the annual International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, so that's what IDOP stands for, that this day calls Christians to remember and pray for their brothers and sisters. And you know, this isn't the only day we can do this. You'll notice in your bulletin, in the prayer request, that to pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted. This day is typically, it's held on the second Sunday of November. This is the first Sunday of November, and so we will remember them this day. Greg Musselman, he is somebody who works with Voice of the Martyrs Canada, and he said this about the International Day of Prayer, that it has been one of the most effective ways for helping Canadian Christians to become more aware of what is actually taking place in the lives of suffering believers around the world. As followers of Christ in this country, Canada, we need to better understand what the Bible teaches about suffering for His sake, just because we live thousands of kilometers away from some of the most dangerous places to be a Christian. It doesn't change the fact that these persecuted believers are an important part of our family. That means they are our own brothers and sisters. There are many ways in which we can become proactively involved. A primary way is that we can get to know them, find out their names, understand their situations, learn about their countries in which they live, and then pray for them effectively. This year's theme for the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church is Present Sufferings, Future Glory. Present Sufferings, Future Glory. And this is based on verses in Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. You can turn in your Bibles to Romans 8 at this time. Christians in certain parts of the world face some of the worst persecution in history. And how do they handle this persecution? Only God can empower them to do so. Romans 8, I will start at verse 16. It says this: "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Paul writing to the church at Rome. This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to 4 points as we consider the persecuted church. And we'll start with this one. From this verse, persecuted Christians find comfort knowing Christ identifies with their sufferings. So in verse 17 of Romans 8, it says, "Provided we suffer with Him." So one thing that keeps Christians going when faced with persecution is the knowledge that Christ also suffered more deeply than we can imagine. He can identify with us when we suffer for Him. Christ also strengthens us to meet any challenge. So as a persecuted Christian, knowing the suffering that Jesus Himself went through, He is our example, helps persecuted Christians face what they do. 1 Peter 2:21, starting, you don't need to turn there, says this about suffering unjustly. It says this: "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, by whose wounds you have been healed. And so this point that persecuted Christians, they find comfort knowing that Christ also went through suffering. Number two, the promise of future glory has encouraged persecuted Christians. Romans 8:18 said this, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time, they're not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." So the suffering that a persecuted Christian experiences, the glory that will be revealed, the future glory, far outweighs that. Through the last 2,000 years, another motivation for Christians being persecuted has been the knowledge that soon and very soon they would meet their King. They would be in a place where suffering would be replaced with rejoicing with the Lord and other Christians. As faithful followers of Christ, we too share that hope of future glory. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul again writes this. He says, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." You know, this is not to downplay just the suffering that people do face in the name of Jesus Christ. And yet Paul here writes, this light, it's momentary, it's temporary, the affliction that Christians can experience, that we could experience even as Christians. Point number three is this. Are we the persecuted church? So I'm talking to you here sitting in the audience. Are you and I, in quotes, the persecuted church? A gentleman named Doug J. McKenzie, he is the CEO of Voice of the Martyrs Canada, and he wrote an article in their newsletter that they publish monthly. And the article is titled, "Are We the Persecuted Church?" This, I've got a copy of it here. I'll read part of an article, of this article. But this newsletter, the Voice of the Martyrs Canada, they publish it monthly, and it's free of charge to receive. And you can be informed just about some of the things that our brothers and sisters are facing. If you would like to receive this, you can talk to me after about getting that. And so in this newsletter, you can learn how our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering for their faith, read inspiring stories of courageous faith, and then also to learn how to pray on their behalf. Here's what Doug wrote in this article. He said, "When I slow down long enough to think about the own words that I say and my own perceptions of Christian persecution in general, I find that hidden in my heart are the biases of our geography, where we live, and our culture here in Canada, which distance us from those who are doing battle on the front lines of our faith. I catch myself referring to the persecuted church as if it is an entity unto itself and quite removed from my ingrained interpretation of the spiritual revelation of church. I use phrases like, those who are in peril for the cause of Christ, and often make reference to coming alongside the persecuted, as if it is somewhere that we need to go. While these are perfectly valid and godly ways of expressing a truth about our brothers and sisters who are suffering because of their faith in Christ, such expressions also reinforce this arm's length, us and them attitude that many of us can fall prey to in relating to this part of Christ's body." He continues, he says, "We not only have a relationship and an obligation to the persecuted church," in quotes, "throughout the world, but that we are in fact one with them and that we are in fact inseparable. The extension of this reasoning, as it dawns upon us, is that in a deeply spiritual sense, we, all who profess faith in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, that we, together us here and others that we read about around the world facing persecution, that we together are the persecuted church. God has called us all to serve according to our gifts and experience suffering in a variety of ways according to our own circumstances. He has not called us all to suffer the physical pain and grief of torture and disentitlement. That is a privilege left to other members of our body who are stationed on the front lines of our faith. But we can rest assured that their suffering glorifies Christ Jesus and his body, in which we who know the truth are all members. Christ's continuing victory over sin, according to the witness of his persecuted servants, is also our victory. And so this was a challenge to me in thinking about this, that this us and them attitude, that they're the persecuted church, we're the church here in North America, and yet we are one, that all brothers and sisters in Christ are part of the church. And so when we refer to the persecuted church, we're part of that too. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 3, these words, "Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." And this is the body of Christ. So this leads us to my last point. Then how can we pray for the persecuted church? This is a question that people visiting brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world, they would be asked, how can we pray for you? A gentleman named Carl Moeller, he was formerly the CEO of Open Doors USA, another organization that brings awareness to our brothers and sisters who are persecuted. And Open Doors, founded by Brother Andrew, if you've read God's Smuggler. And so this is what he says, responding to this question, how can we pray for the persecuted church? He said this: number one, pray with them that they would stand strong. So listen to those words again. Pray that they would stand strong. He said this: almost every conversation I have with a persecuted Christian centers on this. Don't pray that we would be removed. Pray that we would be strong. He continues, he says, "I think it is our natural tendency as Americans or as North Americans to want to alleviate suffering. If they are facing death or torture, let's get them out of there. But the truth is that most of the Christians I meet in the persecuted church have no desire to leave their country. They have a desire to stand strong so that they could be a witness to their country. They love their country and their culture, and they don't want to be foreigners in some other country, even if they were to be safe physically. So that is the biggest prayer that they ask from us. So they ask that they would be strengthened." I have a little video clip to share with you. It's entitled "How Long?" And as part of the video, I'll be reading part of Revelation where some of the saints, the martyrs, say, "How long, Lord, for this suffering?"
When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?"
At the hospital, I was told my mother, my father, and my brothers had been killed. I felt sad, and I thought it would have been better if I had been killed and they were alive. I was told by my pastor, when someone hurts you, you have to forgive them, because God is the one who judges everyone accordingly.
When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, the persecution started to come into my life. My mother asked me, "Do you love your religion more than your parents?" I told her, "I love both." She hated me for following Christ. My mother told me, "If you're blind, you will stop going to church." She took the nail, pushed me to the ground, and tried to stick the nail into my eyes. I moved, and the nail hit my ear.
How long must we wait till the kingdom shines much brighter than this day?
Around midnight, they started fighting. They started killing our people. When we heard the gunshots, my mother told me and my brother and the rest of the family to run away and escape.
They took me to the station and they tortured me. They used something to tie my thumb and one of my toes and hung me for 3 hours.
The pain is still there up to now. The burning is still there. I just managed because of the grace of God that is carrying me through.
When they put us in the room, it was 6:30 in the evening. They kept us there while they beat my husband. We heard the beating until 1 o'clock. Then I heard a shot. They just shot him.
Pray for us that we are always in good spirits and peaceful healing, and to always be near to God.
These are real people who face real situations of persecution. That one gentleman just saying, how do we cope with this? But by the grace of God. Here are a few prayer requests as we remember this day, but always to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ. So prayer requests for China, here's a few things. Praise God for the significant growth of the church in China. This is happening. Pray for God's protection and encouragement for the thousands of Christians in prison for their faith. Pray for boldness for Christians in sharing the gospel despite the dangers that they face. And so even this Friday with Multiply, that this will be addressed, that we need boldness as Christians to speak the gospel. Pray for provision for Bibles. We take for granted that we have multiple copies of the Bible, but that Bibles would be provided and that they would be distributed to them. Pray for the Lord to call and equip more pastors and evangelists. We have church leaders here at Bethel who have been called to shepherd the flock here, and so other parts of the world, they need pastors and teachers and evangelists. So some prayer requests for China, then praying for Iran. These two countries really highlighted this year for the International Day of Prayer. So for Iran, pray that the body of Christ will continue to multiply and mature despite persecution. Pray that the government will be open to change and allow full rights and protection for non-Muslims. Pray for those seeking to provide Bibles, training, and encouragement to believers from a Muslim background. Pray for those persecuting Christians. Pray for our enemies, this is what this is saying. Pray that God will transform their lives, but by the grace of God. This year, let us remember and pray for those who are suffering for their faith in Christ. Pray for their protection, their comfort, their perseverance toward their eternal goal of being glorified with Christ. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up to the platform. We're going to sing a song together. As they come, I'm going to invite everybody to stand. And these words from, you can stand now, Revelation 5, between the throne, the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns, with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent out from God into all the earth. And when he had taken the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen."
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Yeah.
Remain standing as we pray together. Father, this morning we confess you are the King of Kings, and we want to praise you. We want to lift your name on high. You deserve the highest praise. And this morning, Father, we've been thinking about our brothers and sisters. They are one with us, and we pray for them, Father, that you would keep them strong amidst the persecution that they face, that you've allowed in their lives. We would pray for them. And so, Father, I pray for the churches that they are a part of, perhaps meeting at night so that they're not seen, that you would strengthen them. You would encourage the leaders of those churches. Father, we pray that there would be Bibles and other biblical resources that they can get into their hands so that they can fully understand more of who you are and be able to praise you. Father, I pray for those who are persecuting. Father, may you use the lives of brothers and sisters to touch those who are doing the persecuting, that their lives would be transformed by your grace. Thank you for the change that you've made in our lives, and as we join with our persecuted brothers and sisters, recognizing that we are the persecuted church. Thank you that we have been saved through Jesus Christ. Thank you for his death on the cross, that he suffered immensely, even to the point of death on the cross. But thank you that he didn't stay dead, that he is risen. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So we give you praise, Father. Thank you for our time this morning as we can sing and open your word. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are new here this morning, we do have guest reception as you exit on the right. Please feel free to go there. And if you'd like to pray with somebody, come on to the front and there will be some people to pray with you.